Go back to the definition, please.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Tim Stafford with the Stevie Anderson Radio Show right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And we are back after a couple of weeks of vacation there. Stevie was on vacation. I was on vacation. And let me tell you, I really feel great after being gone for a week. I know you're all going to feel really sad for me, but I sat my butt on the beach of Melbourne, Florida for a week with my family, and it has been awesome. It's the first time in 7 years that I've been able to take a vacation that I didn't have to study something or turn in a paper or something, because as many of you know, I've just finished graduate school, and it just feels like I always felt like I had something hanging over my head every time I went on vacation. So this was nice. I got to read whatever I wanted to. I got to spend some time with my kids, who are awesome, and we got to spend some time at one of my favorite places in the world, and that is the beach. I just love the beach. I grew up on the beaches of California. And I just am I'm a beach bum, I'm afraid. And so my wife is also that way. Although she grew up in South Dakota and Minnesota, so I don't know how she became a beach bum, but she is definitely a beach bunny. And so it's been nice to be on vacation, but we're glad to be back. And Stevie and I are going to be talking tonight about a really great subject. But before we do that, I just want to make sure that you know that our guest calling number tonight is 323-417-6724, 323-417-6724. Call on in. We want to hear from you. We'll get you in. Just be sure you're patient. And because, you know, Stevie and I can get talking. We get gabbing. Sometimes it's hard to get a break. But we do take a breath, and I will get you in. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. Well, Stevie, how are you doing? I know you've been busy doing a bunch of stuff and getting ready for the fall. I know the fall is kind of a big time for everybody. Hopefully you got some rest over the last couple of weeks, and you've been able to kind of rejuvenate. And tell us how you're doing.
Tim, I'm doing fine. It's like you're doing much, much better than I am right now. I mean, you having a vacation out on the beach, you know, just relaxing. And, you know, I think the hardest thing is when you leave a vacation, you want to go back to vacation. You can't. It's hard to get back to that routine.
True.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, no, I'm recovering. I am. I've rejuvenating, like you said, and getting back focus. There's going to be some tournaments I'm going to be going out to qualify in, and for the PGA in August, I mean, at the end of August and September in that area, even October, a little before qualifying school. But yes, I'm feeling better. The summer so far has been extremely busy, more than usual. Besides that, everything is going well. It really is. No complaints. No complaints at all. Very, very blessed.
That's great. Well, I know that a couple of weeks ago, I got a chance to meet up with you, and we had dinner, and I got to talk to you some. That was a lot of fun, so I'm glad we were able to do that. And if you ever get a chance to meet with Stevie Anderson, he's about the tallest guy you've ever seen. I got to meet your girlfriend, and she is a wonderful person, and she's tall too. So I'm 6 feet tall. I thought I was a pretty tall person, but the two of you made me look like a shrimp. But that's all right, because I make up for it in beard, because neither one of you had a beard, which is good. You know, it's good that I can make up for something. So, but no, it was really fun spending some time with you. And I hope we get to do that again soon. And so if you're out there, you get to meet Stevie. I tell you, he's one of the nicest people. And if you get a chance to hang out with him, do that, because he's a great guy. So we're glad that we were able to spend some time together, buddy. And hopefully we'll be coming back to my area soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. I think I started growing after I left college. I started getting taller. I really did. A lot of my friends – at home in Louisiana right now. I'm telling you, when I this is the truth. Let me tell you what happened. We're getting to the show. I used to be around the house with a boy, my mom used to always scream at me at the back window, tell me to stand up. And I kind of like would kind of slump all the time and kind of I wouldn't stand up because a lot of times I was a little taller than my friends. And I just went on through life like that, but not really extending standing up fully. And, you know, I got a chance to go to the combine, to the NFL, blessing for that. And I'll never forget the doctors was actually, they were looking at my legs, and my legs actually, when they put them on the, when I sat on the bench, I stretched my legs out, my knee, under my knee area wouldn't touch like most other guys. So I still had room, had really been fully extended. So what happened, I got into doing a little yoga and stretching a lot, and I actually went from 6'4 to 6'6 after college. And now when I go around my buddies and people haven't seen me since college, they'd be like, man, did you grow? Did you get taller? And I said, yeah, believe it or not, I did. You know, also shoe size. So I don't know what's going on with me, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing that people don't know about you, and that is that you could be wearing like a V-neck T-shirt, an old ratty pair of jeans, and an old pair of like Van shoes, and you'd still look good. You're just one of these people
Look good,
dressed in whatever, man. You look great. You always look so put together and everything. I feel like, man, I'm going through my closet going, well, I'm gonna wear my best jeans. And the only polo shirt that doesn't have stains on it, you know. And I've got to go meet Stevie Anderson. He's gonna look like $1 million, even if he's in his shorts and T-shirt.
Hey.
You are a good looking guy, man. Let me tell you.
Oh, thank you so much. But you know what it is, though. Everyone's beautiful, Tim. Everyone's beautiful. You know, and everyone's attracted to someone.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's the end of the day.
I know.
Thanks for coming. I feel good today. I really do. They helped me out today.
There's been a lot going on. I know you wanted to talk about some things, and so there's been a lot going on in the news, what's your take on some of these things that have been going on in the news?
You know what has me really in trouble is totally everything going on in the world right now is just getting chaotic. It's just really, really crazy, but This airline that was shot down because I have some friends that's actually from Russia area, and the plane that was shot down, the Malaysian Airlines, I believe, that right there, that's just sad. And I feel terribly, terribly sorry for all the families, you know, that's going through that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, you think about yourself here in the United States, you're traveling, and if you're traveling, say, to another country, it can happen to us. You know, it can happen to anyone like that. You just don't think, you're so comfortable having a vacation, going back to see your family and or business situation, adventure, whatever. And then your plane, you know, someone just shoots you down. You know, that really affected me a lot, and it still does today. I don't know if you've been following it, but that's terrible, very, very terrible.
What is terrible because, well, the thing about it is, Stevie, is that I think what's so troubling about this for us is that, you know, I know you do this a lot more than I do, but I get on a plane probably 3 or 4 times a year. You fly a lot more than I do, but I get on a plane 3 or 4 times a year, and I fly somewhere. February, I speak at a huge conference in Kentucky. Every year, I fly around and speak for different conferences and do different seminars on things. And you know, there's a certain thing about flying that I don't like to begin with. It's not easy for me to fly. I don't really like the experience very much. But I never get on a plane. You know, if I'm traveling from Florida here to Kentucky, you know, I never get on a plane and think to myself, you know, boy, I sure hope that this plane makes it to the ground. I mean, we don't, you know, I mean, I guess to some degree. We think, well, you know, I don't want it to crash, and I guess there's something that could go wrong. But you know, I don't really think too much about it. And then you hear about things going wrong every once in a while, and it makes you kind of shakes at your core. But the thing about this that really shook me, to the core was these four people just boarded an airplane. The Malaysian airline certainly didn't know that it was going to happen. Nobody boarding that airplane thought, you know, well, we're just going to fly in this airplane today and somebody's going to shoot us out of the sky. And you know what, the real problem with this is that, you know, what's happening now is that these things are just becoming more and more damaging and more frequent. And what's happening is it's making us as Americans feel like, man, this is really starting to affect us, even though, I mean, Americans died on those planes, but that is, and there's a connection there for us. We don't want any Americans to die, but I don't want anybody to die on a plane that's innocent. You know, and if you're going to, and these people who are fighting over whatever they're fighting over, I don't completely understand it, but what they're fighting over, there's a lot of people who died on that plane that has nothing to do with them. And that's what I don't understand about it. I don't understand why they have to do it that way, but they feel like that's what's going to make it, you know, happen for them or whatever. So it's a really sad scenario, I think.
Well, this is the thing about, I said, I'm from Louisiana, and I was in the down the country areas, like Jonesboro, Louisiana, between Monroe and Shreveport, below Ruston area. But when I come home, you know, you actually feel so comfortable at times, all the time, pretty much, because it's people that you grew up with, that you went through, that you actually, through your youth, that was around you, that was there for you through just a little situation that you may have gone through life, and even your collegiate friends. And just from that, just even some of your college teachers and even your high school teachers. And you, the way I was raised, I was blessed, I told you, to be born in the area that I'm from, and because the fact is, it was just you respect people, okay? Now, this is the problem. When you leave from a country like this, and this is another subject to talk about, you do be gullible in a lot of situations, and I have been that number one candidate. Because everyone is not so friendly like that. And, you know, I mean, where I'm from, people speak to each other and they keep going, but some places you just can't speak to some people. You know, they look at you like, you know, what's going on? How they been? What are you about to do? Like they're in danger. So when an area where I'm from and the people that I've been blessed to have grown around and grow up in life to be the person I am today, you get out in the real world and you see these things happen, you'd be like, well, how can someone do this? You know, and people in my area, if they got in trouble, they were just really a troublemaker. There wasn't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. They were just terrible. If they got in trouble, went to jail, there was a situation, they were bad. But, you know, when you go out in life and people take your gullibleness, you know, in the wrong way, you know, they can play games with you. I mean, from anyone. So it affected, that's what I'm saying, it affected me. And you look in the world today, it's like, how can someone do this to somebody, you know? Why would they do this? There's sick. You know, it's just, how can this happen? You meet people like I've met when I'm traveled. I have friends that's from all parts of the country that I've met in travel, especially playing golf with. And when I was working with an agency, the modeling agency at the time, this travel with this product specialist, there's friends I had from all different parts of the United States, and now being in Florida, because Florida is just mainly an international state, basically down to where I'm from in that area I live in. It does affect you because you start thinking about them, because when you start traveling and start communicating with other people of all different nationalities and races, you feel like that it's no different. If you're a good person, you're a good person, period. That's just the way it is, you know.
Right.
So that's why it affected me, and it's still today. You know, I just feel sorry for those families, man. So that's it. I mean, we're going to talk about this. We're going to have to get on this on the next subject for sure, but the topic today, Tim, I was thinking about this for about a month now or so, or way before then, is it easy to forgive and forget, which is a very, very deep topic. I would definitely say it's very, very deep. But I'm going to give you the definition of forgive. Forgive, it says, to stop feeling anger towards someone who has done something wrong, to stop blaming someone, to stop feeling anger about something, to give up resentment. And to forget is to be unable to remember something, to treat with thoughtless inattention. So this is something to think about, and I think it hits everyone in life. This topic is going to hit everyone. If you're human and you're breathing, this is going to hit you. You're going to go through the situation, this particular topic. So in worldview of forgiveness, it was saying basically a lot of questions was asked, but by saying, can you forgive without forgetting? I would talk about that. But also, too, how your memory fades, you forget over time. Do we forget remorse or apology? Also, it goes on to say, why do we hold forgiveness? And, of course, too, in the biblical term, here, God teaches us to forgive 7 times 7. But and speaking of God, on the godly term, on the scripture, he said he has grace. God is a loving God. Of course, we all know that. He forgives us of all trespasses. But also, too, he says he has grace and mercy, cues us from darkness back to Garden of Eden. And he goes on to say, even Jesus invites forgiveness, as in Matthew chapter 22nd through 21st verse. Slow to anger, quick to forgive. What are your thoughts about this? Is it easier to forgive than forget? Because
Steve, the thing about
I think
what's interesting is that, you know, you never are actually going to forgive completely until you're able to forget. And you know, I'm not sitting here and saying that, you know, there have been a lot of people that have done things to me that are very difficult to forget. And so, you know, I'm not saying this is easy for a human, but at the same time, there is a process, I think, and a practice of forgetting as much as there is forgiving. Let me give you an example. Say that Stevie Anderson, you know, you offend me in some way, and I go to you and I say, man, you know, you really have been offensive. And you say, hey, man, I'm really sorry. Would you forgive me? And I say, yes, I forgive you. We shake hands. Maybe we hug each other. We're good. Everything's cool. And you say to me, now everything's cool, right? And I say, yeah, everything's cool. We're good. You know, it's not going to take but about 15 minutes for that to come back and say, you're not really cool with this. And there's a practice then that you have to say as I say, you know what? I've forgiven him. I have to move on. I have to forget. I have to forget. And you know what? It could take years for me to actually be able to do that. But that practice is what's important, because what we like to do is say that everything is okay and then hold it against each other. That's what we like to do. But that's not real forgiveness. I don't think you have real forgiveness until you're able to forget. Now, I realize that there are a lot of people out there that have been through some really terrible things. And I'm not suggesting that I know how you're going to be able to forgive and forget those things. And I'm not suggesting that you should forgive and deny. I think there's a big difference there. There's a difference between forgiving and forgetting, working through the process of forgetting and forgiving, and denial, which is, I'm just going to pretend like nothing happened. That's not really what's going on. We don't have to pretend that nothing happened. We just have to be willing to forgive what did happen. And so there's a lot there, and I know that, you know, we don't have we don't have enough hours in the day to talk about all of that in great detail, but I think there's a real connection here, and certainly the Bible talks about that, because it says that God forgets, he separates our sin, our our transgressions from us as far as east is from the west, meaning that he, you know, when he forgives, it's gone. And that's very hard for us to understand on that level because we have a hard time doing that with each other. And we don't know why God wouldn't remember what we did, but he doesn't. He says that when he forgives us, that our sin is completely eradicated from us. And so we have to begin to try to figure out how that works for our own relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, you're right. It is for us. You know, of course, we're not forgiving as God is. No, nowhere near it. Because the problem is you have people today that don't believe in God, number one. You know, people today that's people today that's always angry. That's people that's not today that's not appreciative of anything. You know, that just don't like you just because of it could be your height, it could be your complexion, just period. So I think going into so the attitudes are going all over the place for us as humans, for us as people today. So if you look at me, I think there are certain people in life actually. I had a buddy of mine call me the other day. He said, "You know what?" He said, "Man, he's in this relationship, whatever." He was saying this. He said, "This young lady thinks she's going through something." And he said, "Man, he said, you don't even know half the things I've been through and how it has affected me and how I cannot forget about it. And do I have forgiveness for the person? No, many times I don't forgive that person and I can't forget about it." So they both ways. They can't forgive and they don't forget. So, and then with the other person, they're going through something. Well, I didn't get a chance to, you know, go over it today and, get my plumbing done, just getting upset because didn't get to the chance to get her nails done. Just something simple. It could be vice versa, too. I'm not just saying females. It could be a guy. It could be the same way. Just unappreciative. So I think the thing, what I'm saying about that is that there are certain things in life that affects people more than it does the next. Like, for instance, in my life, and people, of course, know that a lot of things happen to me. And we got on the road, we're going to talk about some things happen to me. But there are things happen in my life that it's hard to, I don't think I would forget it. I would never forget what happened to me. As far as forgiveness, that's something I'm still working on. And I know that's not the right thing to say. I'm not saying the right thing to say. I know that's probably what happened to most. But I'm working. I'm praying. I'm trying to forgive, and it's so hard now. It's tough because I always every day I wake up every day. My mind just like it just replays pretty much things happened to me in the last 10 to 15 years. It just goes back just like a it's just like a fax. I get a fax for the day. This is what's happened to you. And you're laughing. I know it's crazy. I know it doesn't make sense. But it does make sense because it's me. It's what I'm going through. And I have to work on every day, daily. I have to work on forgiveness. And sometimes I'm like, you know what? I just forgive what happened to me and what this person, whomever it was, put me through this. I forgive them. And then it go for a while, and then all of a sudden, later down a week or a month later, it clicks back, and you start kind of like, okay, if this wouldn't have happened, this is where I would be at. If that wouldn't have happened, I would have been over there. You know, so you're kind of like basically calculating your errors, your wrong places, things you went through in life. Like, so I think your mind start affecting you like that's why I'm not forgiving because I'm tending to look back on a lot of things that happened in my life for a reason to move forward because it could have things might have gone a different direction
yeah.
the worst direction that things happened in my life. It could have been even worse.
Right.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, we have a caller, so maybe we should get them in, and let's see what they have to say. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Stevie Anderson. What's your name?
My name is Vivian.
Hi, Vivian.
Vivian,
how
are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good.
We're doing fantastic. Talk to us.
Well, I thought I'd call in regarding the easier to forgive than to forget, which I agree quite a bit with the easier to forgive, forget. However, it eliminates some circumstances such as, you know, in certain stories, not related to me, but, you know, when someone kills someone or someone hurts someone, I don't believe you can forgive them, but you can never forget a story like that when there's, you know, death or hurt, you know, but little things like, I showed up an hour late to my date. Of course you could forgive that person. You know, you forget to leave the dishes.
Right.
You have to take out the garbage or everyday household chores. I believe those are so easy to forgive. And even forget, you know. I mean, just drop it. It's not the end of the world. But in certain circumstances, I do believe it's a lot easier to forgive than to forget and hold a grudge and live by that day in and day out. I know a lot of people that just don't know how to forget. They will bring up something from 17 years ago, and it's just, you know, they're the ones that will have the heart attack at the age of 38.
I guess my question then would be if somebody brings something up to you from, barring this scenario that you just talked about where somebody killed somebody, these things are very difficult, you know. But barring that, I mean, would you say, do you think, Vivian, that if a person is still bringing up something from 17 years ago, that it's more than just them not forgetting, but they really haven't forgiven you? I mean, wouldn't you say that?
Oh, absolutely. They have not forgiven. No.
Right.
They haven't forgiven or forgotten because they keep me in. And they will, type of people, I mean, in my eyes, I mean, so you hurt them, they're never going to forget it, so
right.
either drop it or not be friends with them anymore.
Right.
It's like when you have an old relationship with a guy or a girl and they keep bringing up, you know, certain situations. It's like, forget it. It's not even worth forgiving.
Right.
They're
going to
keep
right.
not forgetting about it. I have a particular friend that brings up things from 17 years ago. It's like, wow, sorry I was late on all those dates, you know, and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Right. So how do you think that affects people? People who can't forgive, I mean, what do you think the outcome is for them? I mean, can it ever be positive, or do you think it's always going to be negative for them? I mean, what? You know, how does that work? How do you think it works?
I think that they're, in my personal opinion, dealing with a lot of different types of people, different personalities, different ages, I feel those types of people that do not forget and they constantly bring it up, they're the ones that just don't know how to live life, you know, to the fullest. They're just constantly bringing it up. They think about it when they wake up. They think about it before they go to sleep. They just cannot forget something so minor in life.
Let me ask you a question. When you've been taught your whole life to do right, to be a good person, to respect people, and then when things in life, because you know you had you just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's people. When you talk discipline and be, you know, and respect, but then things happen to you in life, now you're looking like you're a troublemaker. You're trouble. You are trouble. You know, it's you're looking wrong, like you know, dangerous. So I think when things happen to a person like that, it's kind of hard for them to forgive and forget, because you've been practiced your whole life to do right, and you've done right, but when you're wrong and you're stole from, it's different. I think it's different when a person is when they go through something dramatic, in a sense. And another thing too. Do you think it's easy? Do you think it's who forgives faster, men or women?
It depends on their personality, but I honestly, with my background expertise, I think men forgive way more than women.
You believe so?
Yeah. But then I've met some men that they don't know how to forgive. They'll keep bringing it up, and they won't forget. But then I know some men that just hold a grudge on a man or a friend or a client or a coworker for years. And they will never forget it.
So you're saying men would not, it's harder for men to forgive.
I think it's harder for women to forget.
To forget.
Yeah.
And forgive. Forgive and forget. Okay,
yep.
Okay.
Yep. And I think it's easier for men, in my experience.
Well, you would know. You're a female. I'm not a female. Tim's not a female.
men seem like they're a lot more easier going than the women. But then again, I'll be honest with you. I will forgive somebody that cheats on me, but I will not forget. Therefore, I will not go back to that person. So like you said, there's different circumstances, different stories, different things. I mean, if it's something small and minor, I think you could easily forgive and forget about it.
Right.
But I think if it's something serious in life or death or, you know, something very, very hurtful, of course,
right,
you could kind of forgive, but you cannot forget. That's why I really give credit to, like, judges and jury duty and all that. I don't know how they could do it because, you know, if somebody's on death row or something, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how somebody can forgive them when they've killed somebody or something like that, you know.
It's a major difference. It's a major difference. Right there. Let me give you one other question. Is there a time limit, you know, for forgiveness or to forget? You think there's a time limit a person should actually forgive or forget?
I agree with that, but then I wouldn't give it a time limit, but I do believe there should be a time. Like when someone brings up something from 5 years ago, oh, remember the time you did this to me? I still don't forget that. That's old. So, I mean, if you brought it once or twice, but not a year later, 5 years later, and 10 years later, because that gets old, don't you think?
Yeah, it gets old. Yes.
Let's live in the present, let's not live in the past.
Right.
There has to be time for people to process things. I mean, especially if you're hurt. I mean, we do have to have time to process. It's not like we can get hurt and they can say, you know, will you forgive me? And I say yes, and I mean, and my intention is to forgive and let it go, but I'm going to have to go through the process of dealing with that in myself. So, I mean, I think we got to give people a break a little bit. I mean, you know, you can't just expect people. But at the same time, you know, if 90 days has gone by and you're still not, you know, making any progress toward that, well, you're probably starting to – we would have to start to wonder if you really did forgive them or if this is something you're going to have to work through. And you know, and that's okay, too, if you got to work through it. But I think that, you know, what she's saying here is really important is that, you know, holding grudges is only going to hurt you. If there's somebody out there in the world right now that's holding, you know, if there's somebody out in the world right now holding a grudge against me, I'm not aware of it, and it's not hurting me any. And if it's hurting you though, and so if you need to call me and we need to hash this out, we got to go have a cup of coffee or whatever. We got to hash this out. Well, let's hash it out. But I think one reason why men have the appearance, although Stevie, I've known a lot of men that have held a lot of grudges for a long time, so. I certainly would not, I don't know if I would say men are quick to forgive, but I think one thing that one advantage men have over women, possibly, I don't know that this is true, but I know one advantage we do have as men is that we're kind of used to hashing things out. I mean, it is kind of our nature. We're, you know, the alpha male syndrome happens, and we hash things out, and we're not all that. We're not necessarily good at it. I'm not saying we're good at it. I'm just saying that we're not afraid to, you know, to kind of battle things out. It's just kind of our nature. Having said that, though, I've known a lot of men who do it very poorly, and so they don't really resolve anything. They just become stronger and louder. And just because you're loud doesn't mean you're right. And so, you know, a lot
right.
of times,
right.
You know,
yep.
we think that we resolve things, but we don't. So I think there are problems with both sides, and I think people get deeply hurt, and I think hurt people hurt people. And so there's kind of a lot going on there, and I think that people's ability to really be able to forgive people and move on, you know, whether we're able to totally forget things or not, I just don't know how much human nature allows us to totally forget things. But if we can keep from holding a grudge and if we can really try to move on, I think that's very important to the process of forgiveness. Do you think I'm right or do you think I'm wrong about that?
Oh, I think you're completely right.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
I agree with that.
Well, Vivian, I really do appreciate you calling in. Thank you for your thoughts on the show, and we're looking forward to hearing from you again. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. You have a great night. Thanks for taking the call.
All right.
Thank you,
Vivian. You're welcome.
See you later.
Okay.
Well, that was great. Good job, Vivian.
Yeah, it was. Actually, it was. And, to have a female's point of view on the situation.
I like that.
And, yeah, absolutely. And,
well, Stevie, there's still time for people to join us. If they want to call 323-417-6724, we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about this thing about forgiveness? And you can tell us about maybe you have a situation where you worked through something that you had to forgive and move on. I've been in situations, Stevie, where I had to forgive somebody and then go back to work with them. And sometimes situations force moving on better than others. I know for me, that always kind of forced situations for me. I've had to work through things where, as a matter of fact, one of the people I work with at my job, she did some terrible things to spite me in another job, and it came back around that she had to work with me, and we just had to get it. You know, we just had to get it out on the table early, get our feelings hashed out. And then we had to move on. And you know, it kind of forced that to happen. And I'm glad that it did, because it was one of those things that kind of was hanging out there, and I never got a chance to totally clean it up. So I'm glad to be able to do that. I think sometimes that just happens. We just have to be able to figure out ways to get after peace. I think that's the one thing I wanted to say, Stevie, too, is that in the absence of in holding grudges, in the absence of forgiveness, what you're really damaging overall is peace in your life. You're just not going to have peace. And peace is a really important thing when you're trying to stay sane in the world that we live in. And I think a lot of times unforgiveness really attacks the infrastructure of peace that we can have in our life, that we can build. It really tears that down, and we're just mad at everybody all the time, and we're just not at peace, and we're in a great uproar on the inside. And I think that's one of the signs that we've got some things to work through.
Right. You know, I totally agree with you. But the problem is, you know, you're right. But the situation that people, those things happen in life that are very, very dramatic to certain people in life, that they just can't, it's hard for them to forget, and it's hard for them to forgive. And I understand, and I've been blessed to, was raised up in church, and even people around my community was raised up in church, and about prayer. And prayer, it makes a difference, it makes things happen. And it's, And I'm continuously, daily, having to do so for me. Now, that's other people know, listen, man, I want prayer. You may not feel like it's good for you. You may not be a believer. But let me tell you, when you realize that to become a believer and realize this is right, you'll see the difference. Because in my life, I've been through some things, man. I've been through a lot of things that people never go through in their life, ever go through. Some men never go through in their life. You know, so this topic. It's a battle for me every day. Every day. Because I was taught to do right. You see what I mean? I was taught to do right and respect people. But when you've been stolen from, you know, that still don't mean just going and stealing out of a store. Stealing is a broad topic. That's a broad, you know, when you've been that way wrongly, it's tough. It's something you have to always fight. So I think, you know, we have to forgive, and forgetting, I think, being here, is only natural as a human to not forget, because sometimes you go through life and you're like, okay, I remember what happened to me, to go back again, you calculate, computer, browse your mind, go back and be like, okay, I don't want to go in this area because this can happen, you know. But we have to forgive, and as we have to work on that to forgive, have forgiveness. I mean, the thing is, we're given opportunity each day. Yeah, look at this way, and I look at this way for myself mentally. To look at this way is that we're given the opportunity in life. This time, right now, tonight, tomorrow, and to help someone, to be positive to someone, and even just by being around certain people, we don't know who's looking up at us. We don't know, and who just so appreciative. They are appreciative to have us in their lives, and just to go on. So when we're down, they're down. You know, and that's a problem. That if anyone is facing a situation and they're feeling negative, feeling sad, we got to watch the way we carry ourselves emotionally, and just, you know, we can affect someone else. You know, that's what happens. But I have a question also too. I was going to say this other question: how do we teach our children to forgive? Because a young lady actually gave me some of these questions and was asking this: how do you think, Tim? How do we teach children to forgive? What do we think? This couple, like a few.
Right. Well, let me answer that by saying something rather shocking. Mm-hmm. You can't teach your children to forgive unless you can forgive. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And really, you shouldn't. Now I know that that's going to be shocking to people. But I don't think you should teach your children how to forgive. Let them figure out how to do that on their own if you can't do it. Because it's just going to be hypocrisy. You know, and the thing about kids are, one thing I know about kids is this: kids can smell a rat a million miles away. I don't care if you're their mom or not, or their dad or not. They know if you're a rat. They know that if you are doing something that you're telling them not to do, and that does not work. So if you want your children to forgive, you got to figure out how to forgive yourself. Now, having said that, how to teach your children how to forgive is it's very simple strategy and very hard to do, very hard to execute. But that is, you must teach your children to advocate for themselves, and you must teach your children how to tackle problems and then follow that through with how to get them to then move on and live life with that person. A really good example is if something happens at school. Something happens at school, you have to talk about what happened at school. You have to get to the point that they can forgive them. You might have to be involved in that, but, you know, it really is not a bad idea for your children to do it themselves. And then when it's all said and done, you have to start asking your kids, so how do you feel about Susie today? How do you feel about her? Are you moving on? Are you? And then they have to say, well, no, I'm still pretty mad at her. Okay, well, then you haven't forgiven her yet. And you're going to have to be kind of, you're going to have to be kind of assertive about it. Because if you don't do it that way, then what happens is they learn how to deny. And denial is not forgiveness. Denial is repression of feelings. So I'm just deny it. It just doesn't matter. I'm just going to repress it. I never forgive it, and now I live with it. Now it has become a tumor in the infrastructure of my mental state, of my emotional being. It's become a tumor. It'd be kind of like if I if I had a little tumor on my leg, and I didn't do anything about it. Well, now it's just going to grow. All it's going to do is grow. It's not like it's going to shrink on its own. So ignoring it and denying it isn't going to help any. So these things that happen to kids happen, and it affects their emotional person. So you have to go back. You have to surgically begin to remove that and say, how's it going today? How did it go with Susie today? How's it, and you're just going to, you have to keep at it because you have to surgically remove it, and it's going to be painful. And you're going to have to, but see, the problem, I don't want to get on the soapbox today, Steve, because this is a whole other day, but the problem in America right now is that we just don't want our children to feel pain. And that is the absolute worst thing that we can do. The worst thing that we can do is to raise a child never feeling any pain.
Say it again. So let everyone know. Say it again.
The worst thing that you can do for your children is to raise them in an environment, in a world, that they believe that they can live in the world with no pain. That is absolutely ridiculous. And the thing about it is that it's in pain and disappointment and that we grow a lot of times. A lot of times when things happen to us, we grow. And let me say one more thing, Stevie, and I just want to challenge everybody with this, is that I have met people who have been through some of the worst scenarios ever in the history of mankind. I have met people who were survivors of the Holocaust, and they were able to forgive their captors. I have met people who were raped. I have met children, adults who as children were raped by their family members, and they were able to forgive their family members. I have met people who have had people murder their loved ones, and I've seen them be able to forgive their loved ones. So what I'm saying to you is, as difficult as it might be, there is nothing that ever can happen to us that we can't forgive somebody else that they did it to us. It's just a matter of us being willing to work through the pain. And I think what happens is a lot of times we're so adverse to pain, and our culture has become so adverse to pain that we're afraid that if we hurt, that we're going to die. But I don't know of anybody who ever died of pain. Now, maybe somebody did die of pain, but I'm just saying that pain alone is not enough to kill you. Now, what's causing the pain might kill you. Like if somebody cuts your leg off and you bleed to death, I mean, there's pain there and there's death. But I'm saying that pain alone is not enough to kill you. I've never known anybody that ever died from pain. They just said, well, we had pain and we died. Well, now the pain may be coming from something that can cause you to die. But the pain is just a symptom of something that's wrong. And working, helping your children work through pain is a very important thing. But in our society, we're getting to the point where, you can't send your kids out unless they have a crash helmet on, a bulletproof vest, and saran wrap all over their body. Well, that's no way to live life. Sometimes you're going to scratch your knee. Sometimes people are gonna hurt you. It's just the way it is. And if we don't prepare our children for pain, then what's gonna happen is they're gonna have that first thing that happens in fourth grade where two girls get into a little bit of a scuffle or two boys get into something on the playground, and it's gonna wreck their whole life. And we don't need that to happen. And we certainly don't need adults who grow up totally adverse to pain. So now they can't fend for themselves. They can't give their own opinion. They can't tell anybody what they're feeling because they're afraid they're going to hurt somebody. It's just ridiculous what we are expecting out of life, and if we're expecting a life of no pain. And so I think we have to be careful
right.
because when we're teaching our children about this, we have to help them get through the pain of it. But they have to feel the pain. Otherwise, they won't grow.
Well, that's what happened, Tim, and back in the day. And I'm going to bring this topic up. I'm going to have a topic pretty soon. We're going to talk about, you know, the things happening back in the day, how things were. And we're not going to talk about the present. It's going to be about all back in the day. We're going to leave it like that. But my mom, and not just my mom, my whole neighborhood, when the sun came up, and I'm quite sure you it happened the same thing to you. You were outside. So as soon as the sun came up, daylight hit, you were outside. When you got up in the morning, you're not going to stay in the house. You're not staying in the house now. That's not going to happen. You're not going to stay in the house and play no video games and eat cookies and ice cream and sit around the house. Now, if you're a female, the girls, that's fine. But the boys, you out. Because the thing was is that my mom wanted us to be out there around other boys. And, you know, we're going to get our bumps and bruises. Because you're right. You do learn something. And you can see it better. You go through it. And that's basically that's another part of experience in life, but experience, too, to help you in life, not to hurt you. You know, it's a commercial
right.
they had, Tim, and I'm going to give it a close in a minute, that they showed a commercial. I can't think of the commercial. The mom was actually protecting the son. She was trying to go to the football field with him. She was trying to go to school with him. She was trying to go everywhere with him. And something happened, and she just said, okay, I'm going to let him go. And she started actually letting the kid grow up. And that's even with the females, too. Now, females, we know have to watch them a little bit different, I would say. I mean, I have little nieces, and, you know, they feel like my mine. So I'm always protective of them and even not mine. But you know, you have to understand, this is what I'm going to say. In life, and basically as adults, and our listeners listen, that in life we go through things for a reason. I understand that. A lot of times we go through things for a reason, and we can't seem to understand why we're going through it or why we were chosen to go through it. But I would say to myself, everything's happened to me in my life. I know it happened for a reason. Whether it happened to me than any of what happened to my loved ones. And that's where you got to look at life. You got to put like, you know what, okay, put the weight on my shoulders so we can all keep going, so we can push through. And, you know, and when you go through life and you have the weight on your shoulders, when you're going through life, the people, God has put people in your life to help you carry the burdens that you're going through, the weight, you know. They help you carry through and finish and continue through life. You may not
right.
see it, but they'll show up out of nowhere. Someone will be there for you. And sometimes it happens to some of our non-believers. You'll be going through some troubles
mm-hmm.
in life. You could be going, you just be on a road trip and something just happens. All of a sudden, you know, say your prayer. You know, someone will show up for you. And so
mm-hmm.
that's what you have to realize, and that no matter what you go through life, you have to forgive, and, you know, you have to work on your forgiveness. A lot of things in life you won't forget because it'll help you, in my sense, it'll help you even better through life. But you have to work on it continuously to pray and focus on moving forward because, yes, you're right, Tim, like you said, it will hold you back. I've been held back a lot of ways
right.
because of things I just couldn't forget about. And no forgiveness for it. So that's
right.
all I'd like to say. Hopefully we've asked a lot of questions. And
And let me say this one more thing.
Today.
Let me help just by saying this, that there are two very famous Holocaust survivors. One is named Corrie Ten Boom, and she, of course, wrote the book, The Hiding Place. At the end of her experience of being held captive by the Nazis and being tortured and all the different things that she went through, she felt closer to God than when she went into the camp. And she was able to forgive all of those people. In fact, there were times after she had been liberated from the camps that she survived, and she was able to forgive and had some interesting moments with her captors. At the same time, a person was going through the same thing. His name was Elie Wiesel. Elie Wiesel was also a Holocaust. He was part of the Holocaust captives, and he wrote the book Night. And Elie Wiesel went through the same thing, but was tortured and held by the Nazis. And when he was all finished, he said that what the captivity had done to him was prove that the God that he had grown up believing in didn't exist. Now, two people go through the same thing, two different outcomes. That all comes down to your choice as to how what you're going to do with the things that happen to you in your life. If you're going to hold on to them, then you're going to replace what could be peace with pain and fear, and you're going to let that rule. Or you can work through the pain and work through the fear and allow that to be replaced by peace and the ability to move on, and you'll have a much different perspective. But ultimately, Stevie, it's up to you. You've got to do it. Nobody else can do it for you. You got to walk through it. And these are just two famous examples. I could give you hundreds of others that I've met that they went through the same thing with completely different results. And so we have to be clear here that can you forgive and forget? I don't know if anybody can really forget anything. I'm not sure. But what I do know is that you can be at peace and move on. And for me, that's the important part of forgiveness.
All right. That, you know what? What those guys went through and how they came out of it, that answers all the questions, in a sense. We have to pay attention and look around us and see what everyone else is going through and how they made it through, and keep prayer going and move forward. Because if not, you're going to be held back by not forgiving, right?
That's right. And don't forget, Stevie, we have a lot to be forgiven for. You know, what I'm willing to do for somebody else, you know, it's the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, there's a lot that I need to be forgiven for. And I'm going to want people to forgive me. I have to be willing to forgive others if that's going to work. So.
Right.
Those are my thoughts.
Yep. Well, Tim, I enjoyed the show.
Thank you.
Have a great night tonight. For our listeners, I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll catch you guys in a couple of weeks.
2 weeks. Yep. All right. God bless you, buddy.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of the Stevie Anderson Radio Show. Join us next week as we'll talk, or no, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. First week in August, we'll start talking about other things that Stevie has on his mind that will take callers, and just have a great time. Thanks for joining us tonight. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.